Acts chapter 1, and we find there the disciples coming together, 11 of them there along with others, 120 in total, and they realized that Judas now was gone, and they had to find a replacement. And as they were casting lots there for the replacement, we read in verse 25 of Acts chapter 1, concerning this replacement, who of course was Matthias, that he may take part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Dante's Inferno, which is Italian for hell, is the first of Dante the poet's 14th century poems named Divine Comedy. In this poem, Dante's Inferno, Dante depicts what a journey must be like as you would ascend through the pit and enter into the chasms of hell. Here in this poem, he pictures us going down to the lowest pit where you find the worst of sinners. There in that poem, he describes your journey through the bottomless pit. And then all of a sudden, you stumble upon a man. There you expect to find him. And there he is. For there is Judas in hell. And in the midst of the pit of hell, yes, there's Judas there, but also there is the devil, the Antichrist Beelzebub himself. There Dante depicts the devil sitting there upon his throne. And yet he's doing something in this poem. There Dante, as he takes you on in this journey through hell, he depicts Satan there sitting on his throne. But in the midst of his very, very teeth, there he's having himself a meal. There Dante depicts Satan as devouring the very, very worst individual to ever cross the shores of this planet. They're the most despised, the most despicable, the very worst of sinners. That's right, that's who Satan is having himself a meal to. There he is devouring and feasting upon Judas Iscariot. Judas, Judas, the very name, it brings shudders down your back, doesn't it? The very name, it breeds deception. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever known or met an individual named Judas? Have you ever met a person who was to call their child Judas? Have you ever met a person who, walking down the street, walking their dog or walking another pet, would call their pet Judas? No, I don't think so. No, Judas, whilst the saint may sing concerning the name of Christ, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. No, the same cannot be said about the name Judas. No, no, the name Judas, it bears a stigma, doesn't it? And you know exactly what type of person you're talking about, or you hear about, if you ever hear someone called a Judas. As you read through the Gospels, it seemed that this dastardly, deceptive nature of Judas, it was long on display before he ever actively betrayed Jesus Christ and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. If you read through the Gospels carefully, you'll discover something. You'll discover that every time there's a long list of the disciples, Judas, he always appears dead last. In Matthew chapter 10, for example, after listing the disciples, after calling them, we read there towards the end of that, or at the end of the list, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Interestingly, in Matthew 26, Jesus Christ, he called Judas Iscariot his friend. And yet this friend of the Saviour, he betrayed the Saviour with a kiss. And he's become one of the most detested men in history. Whilst Peter and Paul will go down as pillars in the church, and we'll remember Andrew for being a tremendous soul winner in the church. No, 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 that cannot be said of Judas. Judas's place, it's not reserved in the hall of fame. Judas is sadly reserved in the hall of shame. And as you read through the testimony of Judas, you will discover that he made many, many mistakes. You see, Judas was a privileged man. He was a disciple, of course. He was privileged. He had the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. He knew him intimately. As I said, he was one of his friends. He walked with Christ. He talked with Christ. But yet for all this, we sadly read in Acts 1 verse 25 concerning Judas that he went to his own place. You see, whilst you might never be the man named Judas, you can't make the same mistakes of Judas. You might not think it, but tonight you could perish in hell and be lost in the same hell beside Judas Iscariot. Oh, my friend, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing it must be to, yes, know all about Judas and think to yourself, well, what a terrible man who walked this earth. A man who literally sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. You can think that all you want about Judas. But my friend, if you're not saved, and if you're not resting and looking to the finished work of Jesus Christ, then you will go to the same place as Judas Iscariot. Oh, what a terrible thing it must be to wake up not in heaven but in hell, and there to hear the wailings of Judas Iscariot, there to hear him wailing, to hear him gnashing his teeth. Oh, all because you made the same mistakes that Judas made. And tonight I want to trace the life of Judas, because I believe there were certain mistakes that Judas made that led him to that point of Matthew 26, where he sold Christ for some 30 pieces of silver. And then how we read about him in Acts 1, where he went to his own place. I believe there were mistakes that led up to that point in his life. And so tonight I want to think about the subject, the mistakes made by Judas. The mistakes made by Judas. And I trust as we look at these four mistakes that you will take them to your heart and that you will not make the same mistakes that Judas made. Rather, that you would learn from his mistakes. So let's think about these mistakes. The first mistake that I believe that Judas made was that privilege is not possession. Privilege is not possession. In Matthew 26, verse 49, we read concerning Judas, that forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. You think of how privileged Judas was. He, in many of the great events of the Savior's ministry, Judas was there. But you know, long before Judas was ever called to be a disciple, I believe that Judas was raised with many, many privileges. You see, the key to his privileges is in the name Judas Iscariot. The name Judas, it is the Hebrew equivalent of Judah. And here we find, I believe personally concerning Judas Iscariot, that he would have been raised by Jews. Why else would he be named after the most prominent, one of the most important tribes of Israel? Remember, of course, the tribe of Judah. It was actually the tribe that our Savior Jesus Christ stemmed from. In thinking about his earthly lineage, the name Judah, it means Jehovah leads or Jehovah praises. Maybe Judas's parents, they named him this because they wanted Judas, young Judas, to grow up to be one whom Jehovah would lead or Jehovah would praise. Also, his second name, Iscariot. It really comes from the Hebrew, which is Kerioth. Kerioth was a little farming town some 23 miles from Jerusalem. And we find Mr. Iscariot, Judas's father, he was raised there. And that's why his second name was Iscariot. And so Judas, he was born close to Christ. He was probably raised, as I've said, in a devout Jewish home. He would have been taken to the local synagogue. Maybe even young Judas, he would have known the prophecies concerning Christ. Oh, Judas, he was born close to Christ. He was named after the human tribe of Christ. And of course, for 3 years of his life, he was one in that sense whom Jehovah led. Christ called him to be one of his disciples. And oh, how privileged Judas Iscariot was to literally sit at the feet of Christ, to enter into Christ's schoolroom, to be taught of Christ the Master. Oh, my friend, how privileged Judas was. Of course, Christ, he sent Judas along with the other disciples to the lost sheep of Israel. And yet Judas himself was lost. Whenever Christ went forth preaching, Luke chapter 8 tells us that he was there. He was there. He heard none other than the blessed Redeemer preach himself. Whenever Christ performed many miracles, Judas was there. Judas, he was an eyewitness of Christ feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. Oh, Judas, he was there. You imagine what it must have been to be in the upper room the night before Christ was crucified, and there to see the blessed Redeemer get down on his hands and knees and dip his hands into water, take a cloth, and literally clean the feet of Judas Iscariot. Oh, Judas, how privileged he was. Heard the Savior preach, watched the Savior perform miracle after miracle, even had Christ the Savior wash his own feet. And yet for all his privileges, Acts chapter 1 verse 25 tells us concerning Judas that he went to his own place. You see, like Judas, you can kiss the door of heaven but end up in the chasms of hell. Like Judas, you can go to your own place. You think how Judas literally kissed the door of heaven. Who was it that he betrayed with a kiss? It was none other than Jesus Christ. And how did Christ describe himself in John 10? Well, he said, I am the door. By me shall any man enter in, he shall be saved. And my friend, like Judas, you can spiritually kiss the door of heaven. You can, as it were, be close to Christ, be in the proximity of Christ, and yet fall to the lowest and darkest chasms of hell. How privileged have you not been? Maybe not like Judas. You weren't raised, of course, in the time of Christ. You weren't born 2,000 years ago. But oh, how you've heard Christ being proclaimed. How you've maybe not been an eyewitness of a literal miracle of Christ. But oh, you've witnessed miracles. You have seen people who have been saved. And you have seen their life completely changed and transformed. Oh, you've been privileged. You've witnessed miracles. You've heard the preaching of Jesus Christ. You've heard of Christ being uplifted and enthroned in this house Sabbath after Sabbath. You may not have witnessed the activity of Christ or the miracles of Christ as such, but you've been raised in the atmosphere of Christ. You've been raised in the gospel, steeped even, soaked in the gospel. And yet tonight, if you were to die, if you're not saved, you would be in the same hell as Judas would be. Why? Because privilege is not possession. Paul reminded young Timothy of this when he said in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote to young Timothy, who had a godly mother and a godly grandmother, and he reminded him that he had been born and raised in the gospel, but the scriptures were only able to make him wise unto salvation. And it was only as he had faith in Christ that young Timothy was saved. You see, proximity to Christ is not possession of Christ. Being close is just not quite close enough. Oh, you can be close, like Judas, close to the kingdom, close to the dominion of Christ. You can be thinking of salvation, contemplating salvation, even tonight meditating upon salvation, and still end up beside Judas in hell. Oh, like Judas, you've been raised close. You've been raised close to Jesus Christ. But being close is not sadly in. And in spite of your privileges, and in spite of your advantages, oh, you're still unconverted. Realize tonight that you need to take Christ as your own personal possession. That you need to personally ask him to be your Savior. Because if you don't, my friend, you will go to your own place just like Judas went. Why? Because privilege is not possession. You know, an old fable tells of an explorer named Gaitan, and he was famous for many discoveries. On one occasion, he heard that there was treasure just off a cave in the coast of the Mediterranean. It was a far journey. It was a treacherous journey, but he deemed it worth it. The amount of treasure was a small fortune. And so Gaitan, he gathered himself along with some other experienced explorers, and they went through the Mediterranean looking for this treasure. However, as they went through the Mediterranean, they soon ran into difficulties. They had to dump supplies off their little boat just to keep the ship afloat. He kept a close diary of everything, and he stated in his diary that things they very quickly got worse. Because of a lack of food and water, men they started to die off one by one. Eventually they came upon the shore where they believed the cave was in the Mediterranean Sea where the treasure was. And it was as they came to that shore, it was just Gaetan and the other sailor left. As soon as they set foot on that shore, the other helper with them, he collapsed and he died. Gaetan, he then moved some 30 feet, and then he spotted the cave just out of the corner of his eye. He climbed up a small road, and then as soon as he entered the cave, he spotted the treasure. Ah, but he was close to the treasure. But as he entered the lip of the cave, his strength was all but gone, and he perished just short of the treasure. Oh, my friend, being close, sadly is not in. And you can be so close, but so far. Because here's Judas, and he's so close to Christ. Had his feet washed, heard him talk, heard him preach, watched him perform miracles. But sadly, he went to his own place because privilege is not possession. Another mistake I believe Judas made. Privilege is not possession, but also service is not salvation. Service is not salvation. Acts chapter 1, we read verse 17. He was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Throughout the Gospels, Judas, he is described as one of the 12. In Matthew 26, verse 14, when he comes to betray Jesus Christ, we read, one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. He was counted or numbered with the disciples. He was actively engaged in ministry for Christ. This verse tells us, verse 17, he obtained part of the ministry of the disciples. Whenever Christ called his disciples and sent them forth, Judas was there. Judas, he was one of the disciples. And remember this, when Christ sent forth his disciples, he gave them power. He gave them power over devils. He gave them power to preach. He gave them power over sickness. And I believe personally that Judas was given the same power, the same authority that other disciples were given. He was instructed at the Sermon of the Mount. He was under Jesus Christ. Here's a man who knew what it meant to literally be building upon sandy ground and not solid ground. You even find that Judas had, he was the only office bearer in the disciples because Judas was the treasurer. He was entrusted with the finances of the disciples. But another mistake that Judas made is that yes, privilege was not possession, but service is not salvation. Here was a man who was a preacher for Christ. Here was a man who performed miracles for Christ, but he wasn't saved himself. You see, service in Christendom does not make you a Christian. And service does not necessarily equate itself to salvation. Oh, tonight, don't make the same mistake that Judas made and think that service is salvation. Don't make the mistake that because you're involved or engaged in some form of religious service, that means you're automatically a Christian. Deeds do not deliver. Religion does not redeem. Service is not salvation. Judas wasn't the only person to learn this in the Bible. There was another young lad who was engaged in the service of God but wasn't even saved at that point. Speaking of Samuel, young Samuel, we read in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, that the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word ministered there, it means served. And here we find young Samuel. He was given over to the tabernacle service by his mother Hannah, and he was serving the Lord. And yet Samuel at this point wasn't saved. It was only later on in that chapter where you read the Lord stood and called him as at other times, did Samuel actually become a Christian? You see, a person is not saved by his works, but by the work of Christ. It's only through the atoning work of Jesus Christ that you're saved. Don't make the mistake that association, affiliation, activity will see you enter heaven's shores. Oh, it's only like Judas sadly didn't learn. It's only through Christ, the open door, that you can be saved. You can be serving, you can be ministering, you can be waiting, you can be offering, and yet sadly end up in the same hell as Judas went to. You can make the greatest of falls. You can fall from the pulpit to the pit. You can fall from the pew to perdition. You can go from drinking of the cup of communion to drinking of the cup of wrath. You can go from singing hallelujahs to wailing in hell forever and ever. Why? Because service is not salvation. Service doesn't save. Works do not save nor atone for one of your sins. And you would have learned this if you have been even in the prayer meetings recently and listening to the lives of each of the reformers that we have been going through. Each three reformer that we have surveyed their life, we have discovered that they were all actively involved in service long before they were saved. We learned last Wednesday that it was only Zwingli, as he was ordained a priest and as he was preaching through the Bible, that the truth actually hit him. Martin Luther was a monk whenever he was saved. John Huss was a priest whenever he was saved. And the same could be said for countless others reformers. And here's Judas. And here he's serving Jesus Christ. But he's not saved. And he falls from the pulpit to the pit. Privilege is not possession. Service is not salvation. Another lesson, it's our mistake that Judas made. And that is this: money is not meritorious. Money is not meritorious. Matthew 26, verse 15, we read, Judas said unto them, "What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas was a man of many things. He was a man of cunning. He was a man of deception. He was a man of service. He was a man of betrayal. But he was also a man of materialism. Because we find in him asking this question that money was the sin that dominated Judas's life. If you were to ask Judas before he had hanged himself what was his oft-besetting sin, his darling sin, it was his money. Even whenever he died, the chief priests, they discovered that Judas was a thief all along. He had been, as it were, in his duties as given financial responsibility amongst the disciples. It seemed that Judas had just one law. Here, he would have taken something for himself. One penny for himself and one penny for the sack of the disciples. And now it comes to almost the end of his life. And he comes to the chief priests and he asks this very, very searching and probing question. What will you give me? What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. You see, redemption is not found in your riches, but it's found solely in Christ's riches. It's only found in the riches of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Wonder, perhaps like Judas, have you an oft-besetting sin? A darling sin that is, as it were, a barrier to your coming to Christ? Have you a secret or a hidden sin that you love, that you put before the Savior? Wonder tonight, are you the master of your money? Or is money the master of you, like Judas? I say to you tonight, yield your life to Christ, and I can hear you say back in your mind, but this, but that. You know, in Matthew 19, there was a young man who came to Christ, and he asked him this question. He said, "Christ, what might I do that I might inherit eternal life?" The Lord Jesus knew this young man, and he told him to keep the commandments. The young man was a proud pretender. He stated that he had kept all of the law from his youth. Then Christ asked him to do something else. He said, "Sell all that you have and give it all to the poor." And in Matthew 19, we read in verse 21, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I want to ask you a question. What is the price that you have set on the head of Christ? Like Judas, is it 30 pieces of silver? You know, if you were to take the 30 pieces of silver and cash them in at a cashier's desk today, you would be given a tenner back for your troubles. And here's Judas. What did he do? He sold Jesus Christ for a tenner in today's money. And I ask you tonight, I ask you, what is the price that you've put on the head of Jesus Christ? What's your 30? Is it a person? Is it a possession? Is it as a hobby? Is it a hubby? Is it some vice in your life? Well, you can have all that life will offer you, and yet have absolutely nothing in the next life. You know, in heaven, the question will not be, what price have you paid for this and that? But the question will be, have you trusted in the one who paid the price to save your soul? And oh, you need to learn the lesson that you can have all of the riches that this life can offer you, and yet be the poorest person in the next. Here's Judas. And he put 30 pieces of silver. That was the price he put on the head of Jesus Christ. You know, on a hill in Venice, there was an old blind man who was said to be a genius. It was said that if you went up to him and asked him a question, that he would have the answer for you. Of course, he was blind, and so two young lads, they decided they would try and trick him and prove that he wasn't a genius. They went up to his house, and one of them had a little bird in his hands. And they went to this man, and they asked the blind man, was this bird dead or alive? And without hesitation, the old man said this. He said, son, if I say to you that that bird is alive, you'll close your hands and crush the bird to death, and you'll say it's dead. But if I say the bird is dead, then you'll open your hands and the bird will fly away. You see, son, in your hands, you hold the power of life and death. And here's Judas, and he's the power of life and death in his hands. He could choose life. He could trust Christ as his Savior. But he chooses death. And he chooses death for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, the mistakes that Judas made. Privilege is not possession. Service is not salvation. Money is not meritorious. One last mistake, and I will be quick with this. Remorse is not repentance. Remorse is not repentance. Matthew 27, we read verses 3 and 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. And he cast down the 30 pieces, the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. I want you to see Judas now. Oh boy, Judas, he is a rich man. He has some 30 pieces of silver in a little bag. But now something's happened. The truth has dawned upon the soul of Judas. He's realized what he has done. He has literally betrayed the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas wants to take back what he has done. I want you to see Judas now. He has 30 pieces of silver in a little bag in his hand. He's running through the temple. He's desperately trying to find the chief Pharisees. He takes the 30 pieces of silver and he throws them down on the marble floor of the temple. And oh, he cries out, I have sinned. I have betrayed the innocent blood. What's happening here? Judas's conscience is being stirred. We're told here in Matthew 27 that he repented himself. Now, what does this mean? Well, this doesn't mean that he truly repented, that he turned from his sin. It simply means that he was sorry that he was caught out. That's what it means. He wasn't sorry for what he did. He was sorry that he was caught out. And so being ridden of guilt rather than repenting unto Christ, he was full of remorse and he couldn't cope with it. And sadly, he hanged himself. You see, outward remorse is not inward repentance. Being sorry for your sin is different to turning from your sin and repenting to the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas, what did he do? He took his sin to the wrong place and to the wrong people. He should have wept his way all the way to the middle cross of Calvary. And instead he wept his way to perdition. I wonder tonight, like Judas, you ever felt like that? You ever wept over your sin? But it hasn't really been out of a true sense of repentance. You maybe perhaps been sorry that you've been caught out. You're sorry maybe that you have been caught red-handed, but you've never truly repented. Perhaps your conscience troubles you, it terrorizes you. But rather than seeking remission in Christ, you've sought the reassurances of a friend. Oh, well, there's only one person and one place you need to come with your sin, and that's to the blessed hill of Golgotha. And there see the crucified Christ dying in your place. The mistakes made by Judas. Wonder tonight, is there a Judas in our meeting? And you're on the verge of deciding for the devil instead of deciding for Christ. It may not be for silver. It may not be for gold. But yet by tens of thousands is this precious Savior sold. Sold for a godless friendship. Sold for a selfish aim. Sold for a fleeting trifle. Sold for an empty name. Sold in the mart of science. Sold for the seat of power. Sold at the shrine of fortune. Sold for pleasure's power. Sold where the awful bargain none but God's eye can see. Ponder, my soul, this question. Will he be sold by thee? Will you sell Christ tonight? Will you give him the kiss that Judas gave him? The kiss of death? Or will you give him another kiss? Psalm 2 tells us, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish in the way. Which kiss will you give Christ this evening? The kiss of affection or the kiss of death? The mistakes made by Judas. May God bless this message to your souls and life this evening.